You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, the economic recovery post-COVID-19 is obviously the big talking point at the moment. And where we find a lot of consensus is in infrastructure and an infrastructure-led growth program. But the question is how it's going to be funded. I'm joined by Janina Slarsky, who's head of investment consulting at Alexander Forbes. Good evening, Janina.
Good evening.
Now, a lot of talk, even pre-COVID, was around amending Regulation 28 of the Pension Funds Act to ensure that we get more private pension fund money flowing into assets, real assets like infrastructure, to fund infrastructure and capital projects. Let's just take a step back firstly. We've had prescribed assets in the past. How did it work and what were the results back then?
Well, I wouldn't say it really worked very well. In a sense, it was at a time where there was enforced minimum investments into government bonds, state-owned entity bonds. And what happened was essentially investors who were forced into those investments got very poor returns versus the alternative, which they would have preferred, of investing into something like equities. So there was a massive opportunity cost. And all that happened was that those investors had a lot poorer returns at the end of the prescribed assets era than they would have had in the absence of it.
It's interesting that I was chatting to Linda Martiza, the principal officer of the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund recently, and she said that what's likely to happen from her engagements in the industry and with government is that Regulation 28 is amended to include a minimum threshold that must be invested in infrastructure, which is quite similar to that. Wouldn't go so far as prescribing actual investments that should be made, but she referred to it as a nudge in the right direction. What do you make of the idea of a minimum threshold into infrastructure?
See, one of our biggest challenges and one of the big differences between now and the previous era of the prescribed assets is that now most South African funds are defined contribution funds. So, in fact, the Eskom Pension Provident Fund is one of the few remaining defined benefit funds. And there's a massive difference between those two structures. If it's a defined benefit fund, then it tends to be fairly long-lived and you are very focused on developing a pension in the future, right? So you're looking for the investment to give inflation-beating returns. But if you're in a defined contribution fund, where the majority of members now are, you essentially have your own little pocket of money. It's invested for you. You can usually go online and see the value every day. You can switch. So the two types of investments are very, very different. If I need my little pot of money, and obviously we're going through a very difficult period in South Africa with a lot of retrenchments, I need to be able to access my money whenever I want it and maybe to switch to whatever. I can't invest a minimum amount into illiquid investments. And that's really where infrastructure tends to sit. You really want to be able to take patient capital that can sit for 10 to 12 years in a fund and use it to build big investments like bridges and wind farms and toll roads and so on. So it is feasible to think of big investments from big defined benefit funds like the Eskom Pension Provident Fund, Government Employees Pension Fund. But the majority of defined contribution funds will try and invest as much as they can, but not above really big limits. They wouldn't be able to go more than the sort of 5% levels. And that's the big challenge.
The Eskom Fund does have a hybrid financial structure where the fund is a defined benefit with a defined contribution financial underpin. But I want to move to what the president really should be focusing on to unlock pension funds and make it easy and attractive for them to, on a risk-adjusted basis, invest directly in things like infrastructure without using Regulation 28. Surely funds would flow into projects that had an attractive risk-adjusted return.
So one of the concepts we want to talk to strongly is that we shouldn't just focus on pension funds. If you really want to be successful, and if you look at the massive infrastructure spend that is being considered by the Infrastructure Office and the Presidency, they're looking at $2.1 trillion over the next decade. Now, pension funds would not be able to invest anywhere close to that amount. So make investments attractive, but not only for local investors, for any investor, particularly international investors. And if you can design investments that have good risk-adjusted returns, when you have investors queuing to invest into those funds, you won't need to make a minimum investment in terms of Regulation 28, as you said, but also you'll be able to attract big sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, foundations, etc. Those are the actual big investors internationally that have made infrastructure investments successful in other economies. And that's really what we're saying South Africa needs.
Absolutely. Bottom line, if you make it attractive on a risk-adjusted return basis, they will come. Janina Slowski, Head of Investments Consulting at Alexander Forbes.